The scripture reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. Acts chapter 9, 36 through 43. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, and whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And when he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner.
I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be with you today. I enjoy speaking and I appreciate any opportunity I have to do that. For my fifth birthday, my parents bought me a little beagle puppy. He was black and white and brown and tan and just a ball of energy. They hid him in the barn for a week before my birthday. He was my first dog. I couldn't think of a name to give him, and so my aunt suggested that we call him Cracker Jack. And Cracker Jack it was. He was a good boy's first dog. He was fun. He was energetic. He was playful. He was gentle. But in that winter, he got loose from his chain, and he followed my dad out the driveway, and you can imagine what happened. Although that sounds somewhat trivial at the time, for a little boy, it was rather traumatic. Unfortunately, and perhaps almost kind of contradictory, living involves losing. And living involves dying. We lose things and people that are important to us. More importantly, sometimes we lose close friends and family. I've lost close friends and family, and you have too. And the longer we live, the more likely it is that we will lose more friends and family. Perhaps when you lost someone in the past, how did you feel? Sometimes we ask ourselves, why? When we look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 36 through 43, we might ask another question. Why Dorcas? Dorcas was a good woman. She was a Christian woman. She was a caring woman, a giving woman. So why Dorcas? Why would she have to die? Imagine for a moment that you had nothing. I mean, really had nothing. You were alone, perhaps afraid. You were poor. You had no money. You had very little food, very little clothing, and no way to provide any. You didn't have a job, and most likely you couldn't get a job, at least a respectable job. That's essentially the kind of circumstances that widows in the first century were in. They couldn't work. Women in the first century typically didn't work. They didn't have Social Security. They didn't have their husband's pension. They didn't have welfare. For the most part, the only hope that they could have would be through the local synagogue. The synagogue would sometimes provide for widows. Can you imagine how they must have felt to be in that situation? And what if they had children? Can you imagine having nothing? Having no way to provide for yourself? Having no way to provide for your children? What would be going through your mind? What would you be thinking? I suppose we'd be thinking, where's the next meal? Where will we get clothes? What are we going to do when it gets cold? How will we keep a roof over our head? Now, imagine, though, that there was someone who helped you. Here you were in this destitute position where you couldn't work, you couldn't provide, you didn't have food, you didn't have clothing. You had essentially nothing and no way to provide for yourself. But someone helps you. Someone takes care of your children. Someone takes care of you. There was a man in 1938 and 39 by the name of Sir Nicholas Winton. He personally helped save 669 Jewish children from the Nazis. How do you suppose those children felt about Sir Winton after they came to understand what he had done? Imagine being one of those children, and later in life you learn about the Holocaust and you see those terrible pictures. There's one particular picture that I've seen before from Belzec concentration camp. It's a mountain, a pile of empty shoes. Just horrific when you think of all the people who wore those shoes. And now they're gone. Imagine being one of those children that was saved from that. How would you feel about a man who had done that? How would you feel about someone that saved your life? In Acts chapter 9, for the Joppan widows, that person was Dorcas. The person that gave them life, the person that helped them. Look at what we're told about her. In verse 36, we're told this woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. You drop down a little bit further, down to verse 39. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Here are these women who have lost their husbands. They live in a society where a woman, a respectable woman, doesn't work. And here someone provided for them, provided them clothing. But that person died. Dorcas dies. The person that had given them life, the person that had taken care of them, the person that had provided for their needs, died. How would you feel if the person that sustained you, the person that gave you life, died? What would you say? What would you do? How would you feel? Do you think that you would speak poorly of such a person that had done good? Perhaps you've seen the movie A Christmas Carol. Ebenezer Scrooge and such. Tiny Tim. Perhaps you've seen the older movie. I don't remember when it was made. But when Scrooge dies, all the people are dancing through the street and rejoicing because he died. Do you think people would do that for someone that saved their life? For someone that provided for them in their need? Of course not. We would never dishonor someone that helped us in need. Or at least we typically wouldn't. In fact, when we look at Acts chapter 9, we see what the Joppan widows did. They didn't disrespect Dorcas. They spoke very, very highly of her. In verse 37, they washed her. They prepared her body for burial. And then they laid her in an upper room. They placed her in this place to mourn over her. We continue in verse 38. Not only did they prepare for burial, but they also sent for Peter, which is kind of interesting. What do you suppose that they thought Peter might do? Could it be that they thought Peter might raise her from the dead? Verse 38, we're told the disciples had heard that Peter was there in Lydda, and they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming. They must have thought that Peter could do something. Joppa was about 10 miles from the city of Lydda, and the trip from Joppa to Lydda, that would have been a total of about 20 miles. And if you think about it from a first century standpoint, if you're going to walk, it's going to take you most of the day to go from Joppa to Lydda and back, or from Lydda to Joppa and back. It would have taken a few hours at the very least. But in the first century, you know, when we think about burial and we think about funerals, we typically think in terms of days. Okay, this person has passed away. It'll be a couple days before the calling hours, and then another day until the funeral. But that was the way it worked in the first century. In fact, you know, if you think back only 150 years or so, that wasn't the way it worked here. When someone passed away, at the most, you had a day. Typically, within 24 hours, the person would be buried. And so they sent very quickly for Peter. Verse 39, we also learn that when Peter came, all the widows stood by him, weeping. They were sorry, they were sad, and they showed him the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made. Here they are displaying for Peter Dorcas kindness. Why did they do those things? Why did they weep? Why did they prepare for burial? Why did they send quickly for Peter? Why did they show him all the things, the kind things that she had done? They didn't do it because she was unkind to them. They didn't do it because she had been mean to them. They didn't do it because she passed by their affliction like the Levite and the priest in the parable of the Good Samaritan. You see, simple Christian acts of kindness influence people. They influence people about what they think about us, but more importantly, they influence people about how they think about God and about Jesus. How far do you suppose some of those simple acts of kindness that Dorcas did influence people? Do you suppose some of them became Christians because of what she did? Do you suppose that some of them went on to do their own good deeds because of her example? Do you suppose that perhaps some of them spoke well of the gospel because of what she did? Do you suppose maybe there was a little boy who received one of the tunics that Dorcas had made that thought favorably of her, and because of her thought favorably of the gospel, and because of that he went on to become an evangelist of the gospel? You see, simple acts of goodness, of kindness, of Christian goodness influence people. But couldn't we have learned that without the death of Dorcas? Couldn't we have learned the goodness of kindness and Christian acts without her death? And so again, we might ask, why Dorcas? Why did she die? And maybe even more importantly, why did she resurrect? Why did she come back from the dead? Did she deserve to die? Doesn't appear such, does it? She had been a good woman, a Christian woman, a kind woman. Did she deserve to resurrect? We might ask that of any of us. Do any of us deserve to be brought back from the dead? Perhaps because of her goodness, maybe she did deserve that. But from the other side, none of us really deserve any of God's kindness. All of us have sinned and all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. We all deserve punishment. So why Dorcas? Perhaps we need to reevaluate that question. We could ask the same thing about other people in the Bible. Why the blind man? Why was he blind? In fact, the disciples asked Jesus that. Who sinned, this man or his parents? Jesus replied, neither this man or his parents, but that the glory of God might be displayed in him. We might ask the same thing about Lazarus. Why Lazarus? Why did he die? Why did he resurrect? Why Dorcas? Perhaps we need to notice verse 42. Look at verse 42 and look at it closely. Dorcas dies and then Peter brings her back to life. In verse 42, it became known throughout all Joppa and many believed on the Lord. Could it be that the death of Dorcas is connected to those that she had influenced and to the people that knew about her? Could it be that her death and her resurrection would have influenced people even more? Now, certainly, God would have been glorified by the resurrection of anyone in the name of Jesus. But could it be that because of what Dorcas had done, God was glorified even more? Perhaps, when we ask the question, why Dorcas, maybe what we need to ask is, why not Dorcas? Who better could glorify God? Who better could influence people and bring them to Christ? Who in all of Joppa could better glorify God in death? And who in Joppa could better glorify God in resurrection? Why not Dorcas? But if that's the case, if it is the case that sometimes there are individuals who can glorify God through what they suffer and through what they struggle with, and if it is the case that we ought to ask, why not Dorcas? Then maybe we need to ask, why not me? Do you think God can be glorified by our actions? Do you think God can be glorified by the kind and the good things that we do every day? And that perhaps He can use us to glorify Himself even more and to influence people even more? Sometimes in life we suffer. Sometimes in life we struggle. Sometimes in life we lose those who are near and dear to us. Sometimes we ask why. Could it be that God can be glorified through our struggle? We might ask, why me? Why me when I'm sick? Why me when I've lost a loved one? Why me when I've lost a friend? Why me when I'm struggling with finances? Why me when I lost my job? Why me when I'm dying from some illness? But perhaps we need to ask, rather than why me, we need to ask, why not me? Maybe God can use our circumstances to glorify Himself and to advance His purposes. That's exactly what He did through Dorcas. In verse 42, many believed on the Lord because of what Dorcas suffered. Paul, in fact, thought that Jesus could be magnified more through His life and in His death. In Philippians chapter 1, in verse 20, he said, in whatever thing, in whatever happens, only that I may magnify the Lord. In life or death, whatever, only that I may magnify the Lord. What great things can God accomplish through us? Dorcas teaches us as well that we need to live to glorify God. Not that we might be raised from the dead like her, but that we might glorify God like her, even in death and certainly in life. Whatever we do, whatever we struggle with, whatever we suffer with, is our life a glorification of God? Is our life an honor to Him and one that influences others for Him? Perhaps this morning you look at your life and that's not the case. Perhaps the influence of your life would be negative. That's not the way we ought to be. That's not the way we ought to live. And Dorcas calls upon us to live different. And Jesus calls upon us to live different. If you're a Christian this morning and people aren't influenced positively for Christ by your life, you need to change. You need to make that right. Perhaps there's sin that you need to repent of. Perhaps you'd like our prayers in that regard. If so, we encourage you to come. If you need to repent, repent. Perhaps, though, this morning you're not a Christian. You've never obeyed Christ. We can't glorify God and we can't glorify Jesus without obeying Him and without following Him. Today, if you're not a Christian, we encourage you to do that very thing. Obey Him. Come to Jesus believing that He is the Christ, the Son of God. Willing to repent of your sins and confessing that you believe that He's the Christ, the Son of God before men. And then allow yourself to be baptized in His name for the forgiveness of your sins. And then begin to live a life in newness of life that honors God and honors Jesus and influences others for Him. If you've not done that this morning, we encourage you to come. Obey Jesus. If you need to come back to Him and repent, we encourage you to do that as well as we stand and sing the invitation song.